B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Mass coming up on 5:04 in the evening. We're brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Know a lot of you are home, doing your part, doing the right thing under quarantine. In that case, catch us on all of the internet stuff. 98.5thesportshub.com, the app, 98.5thesportshub app. Your Alexa thingy, the voice-activated device thingies.
Yes.
Mass has got like 18 of them spread throughout his house. He talks to his computers all day long, shouting things at it. You just shout Sports Hub.
Alexa.
Yeah, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub. And then she'll come on and say, you were last listening to the stream. Should I resume?
Yep. Okay. So you can do that. That's how you listen to us at home. At this hour, we have breaking news for you.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, here you go. Red Sox just issued a statement a short time ago, and then it was tweeted by Kenny Rosenthal and others of the like. Headline, Chris Sale to undergo Tommy John surgery. Red Sox announced today that Sale will undergo ulnar collateral ligament reconstruction surgery, Tommy John, on his left elbow. High and Blue made the announcement. That is pretty much the extent of the statement.
I mean, that wasn't even close. That wasn't even close. They weren't even close to managing that thing without surgery. He threw once a couple weeks ago, had to be shut down. They said, well, try rest. He just has this, what, I don't even remember what the hell.
Flexor tendon strain.
Uh-huh, right. They has just this thingamajiggy. But, you know, we're going to see that. He threw once again yesterday. Right? He just had a little throwing session.
I think he played catch.
Alex Spear was reporting it.
He played freaking catch once, and it's Tommy John.
His elbow flared up, and it's over.
Most obvious, like, they weren't even close to managing their way through that thing.
No, it was over. And you know what? They knew it was over, and when we played the sound, the day that they announced that he was going to take one more crack at it, and he was getting a second and third opinions, even Sale knew. We'll pick up the coin however it comes up, or whatever he said. And so that's it. He's done. He'll miss 2 years now. Now, the good news for them, like I sort of had resigned myself to this reality. This is the official news. If the season's shorter, their chances are better. Because the thing about the baseball season is that it's just tough to, if you're flawed, it's tough to sustain over 162. But can you pull a half a season out of your ass and get in the playoffs? Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
I wouldn't rule that out. So, you know, this stoppage, I think, will help them a little bit, but it's now official. Sale's having Tommy John surgery. He is done for this season and, in all probability, all of next season. How do you like that?
Hell of a signing.
I mean, just, you can't emphasize the absolute stupidity and succession of colossal mistakes that they have made. You can't emphasize it enough in the last, call it 12 to 18 months. Unbelievable, the series of mistakes that the Red Sox have made.
Okay, so there's that. Chris Sale, officially Tommy John. See you in
2022.
Seriously.
2022. Okay, there's that. Otherwise, on the Brady to Tampa front, still not official, still hasn't happened. I should have said something, but I don't know. Yesterday, I understood it wasn't officially announced. And we got into last night, it wasn't officially announced. I understand you can't have the official announcement until you have the physical, and they're not letting teams officially announce until you get the physical, and they're not allowing travel, and they're not allowing players into buildings. So that becomes tricky. You got to find a spot for the guy to get a physical in his hometown, not traveling, a doctor they both sign off on. And so they're like, I understand all those, but still, this is Tom bleeping Brady. And I thought, you know, by last night, we still haven't heard anything. And then by this morning, we still haven't heard anything. Like, what? This is a little unusual, and people started to raise some eyebrows on that. Like, what's going on? Did something happen at the last minute? Did someone else step in? Mystery team? Is he getting cold feet, etc.? Then it comes out that it's just that. It's the physical thing, that he's not going to travel to Tampa. The building is closed, so he and the Buccaneers have to sign off on a mutually agreed-upon doctor in New York, where Brady is, to get the physical, go get it, and then send it to Tampa, and then their doctors have to sign off on it. There's a process. So that's where we are today. Apparently, they found the doctor. He's going to have the physical. They're going to send it to Tampa, and then we'll have the official announcement. I don't know. It's just now 2 days later. It's like, I don't know. I just wonder.
Well, you're always justified in wondering. I mean, all the things that you just said, then how come Teddy Bridgewater's a done deal?
Is it a done deal?
I think so. I mean, the team hasn't announced it per se, but even the reports on Brady are short, right? The reports the other night were expected to sign with Tampa, barring something unexpected at the last moment. So I always wonder in a case like this, like I told you what my fantasy is here, that Dallas is swooping in at the last minute, willing to do it with Brady, and they're going to trade Dak and get, you know, the number 5 pick to take Tua. Like that, something like that. I doubt it. I think it's 10 million to 1. But, you know, until they say, Brady, they've agreed, now pending a physical, I don't know, it still feels a little...
Oh, it's written that way to drum up drama. Please,
probably.
You're buying into it.
Probably.
It's a done
deal. So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
Sorry, Carl.
Couple
He's
different
going
versions.
To
couple different versions.
Well,
of
that one's
now.
Still alive. I think is Jimmy's point.
So all the reporting there today says they're fine. They're on track. They're just going through this little machination of Brady getting a physical, and who knows? In New York, it's probably not the greatest time to walk into a hospital or get a doctor. Or so we're. This is the new normal, and so that's what we got with Brady.
I refuse to believe though that it's related to the physical.
Really?
Maybe they're haggling over, you know, when I say language, contract structure, like, you know, all the big pieces are in place, but they've got to figure out how they're going to make some last detail work, and they haven't figured it out yet.
Well, I'm curious on the money. You know, he asked for 30 a year for 2 years, and it was, you know, the team could structure it how they wanted. Drew Brees, just, you know, the numbers came out on his deal. It's 2 years, $50 million guaranteed. They actually tacked on 2 more phony void years, so it reads a 4-year deal for I don't even know what they... phony number they made for the whole thing, but basically it's $50 million is guaranteed. So pretty cut and dried. Is Brady's $60 million going to be guaranteed? Did he want both years guaranteed? I don't know. We'll find out.
I mean, I would hope so.
And I hope so. I'm still disappointed he didn't have a stronger market. I'm still disappointed that better brands and better teams and more viable situations didn't come calling for him. It's been reported in a couple different places. He had the same offer on the table from the Buccaneers and the Chargers. In other words, he asked for the same from both, and both said yes. And he said the same thing. 2 years, 60, you know, $30 million a year, little flexible on the structure. And so he had those two offers on the table, could have gone to L.A., could have gone to Tampa, and he chose Tampa. That surprised you a little bit?
Totally. I just thought... As I said to you in the days leading up to it, with all the waters being muddied, my instinct is to go back to what my first gut feeling was, and that was L.A., because I thought L.A. fit on multiple levels. Now, I'm not telling you I like Anthony Lynn and Brady together as a coach-quarterback tandem, but the market made sense to Brady. The team was moving into a new stadium and had a reason to make a big splash. They have weapons on offense. They have talent on defense. To me, L.A. screamed it from the very beginning. I thought L.A., Tampa. And I know we've said this a million times all week. When this whole thing began, tell me who said Tampa.
Nobody.
Stop it.
Nobody said Tampa because we all deemed Tampa to be a wasteland.
So it feels like a fallback. It feels like he got pushed into a corner. They didn't have a good market, and so he just settled. Feels like he settled. Settled for Tampa. But if L.A. had the same offer on the table, and that's a better market, certainly, and a better building and a more viable place for his brand,
yeah.
Maybe he did have a choice. Did he choose them over New England, or did New England leave him no choice? And this is something we will hit on next with your calls. What is becoming clear to me is that the Pats didn't think he'd do it. The Pats thought he was bluffing, and Brady called the bluff. Or they called Brady's bluff, and it turns out he was holding. I mean, turns out he was willing to do it, because you'll hear the Ian Rappaport sound coming up here. The Pats are still on this thing where if Brady told Robert Kraft on Monday night that he wanted to stay, that they would have had a deal done. Leaving out the fact, you know, purposely not putting in there, the fact that they were never going to pay him 2 years, $30 million a year. They were never going to give him that Drew Brees contract. They were never going to give him $60 million. They were not going to do that. So when the Patriots say, if he had said he wanted to stay, we would have worked out a deal. What they're saying is they thought when Brady called Robert to go over on Monday night that he was caving, that he had made up his mind, I'm not going to Tampa, just like we all thought would you know, was a possibility, that he wouldn't, when faced with the prospect of a good deal in a horrible place versus a bad deal in New England, he'd revert and come back to New England. And that's what they thought, too. They thought when he called Robert Monday night, I want to come over, they thought, oh, he's caving. He's caving. He's not going to take that offer from Tampa. It's a much better offer, but it's freaking Tampa. He doesn't want to start over there, go to that wasteland where it doesn't matter. So we're not paying him $60 million, but he'll come to our terms because he doesn't want to go to Tampa. And so when Brady came and said, I'm actually gone, they were surprised. Robert was. And that's why Robert says, if he just said he wanted to be here, we would have worked something out. Robert's going under the assumption that he could have had Brady for 1 year and $20 million, 1 year and $17 million, 1 year and $22 million, 1 million, 1 year and $23 million. They didn't think he'd take the deal. He called their bluff. And I don't blame him. That's close. Because again, when I asked you last week or the 2 weeks ago, if the option for Brady is a great deal in Tampa or a horrible deal back in New England, what will he do?
Retire.
And you said retire. But then when I pushed, but if I asked anyone that, that's a 50-50 proposition.
It is, yeah.
I mean, we've all talked ourselves into Tampa now, but back then, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, if I said his choice is only going to be a legit offer in freaking Tampa or more of the same back in New England, most of you would have said, he's going to come back to New England.
He's better off in New England.
So yeah. when he called Robert on Monday night, I think Robert felt the same thing. Yeah, he's going to come back here and take the cheese again because he ain't going to go to Tampa. And then Brady showed up and said, Robert, I'm gone. And that's why they were shocked. They thought he was going to cave again.
I still can't believe he picked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I don't know any other way to see you do. You want to drop an F-bomb right in front of it. The effing Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's who Tom Brady picked.
Okay, more on that with your calls, I promise, right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Belger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mez.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
And this is interesting to note here. We know that Brady had two suitors, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Patriots did not make an offer. What they wanted, and something that Robert Kraft kind of expected when Brady showed up at his house the other night, they wanted Brady to say, I want to be here, and in their minds, they would figure out the contract. That just never happened. When Brady showed up to Kraft's house, it was to say goodbye, and it just has yet to officially become the goodbye.
I'm just trying to put that two and two together. So hold on a second before we move on. Ian, are you saying that there was never a dollar or a cent put on the table that this is what we will pay you, Tom Brady? We want to hear from you first that right. You want to come back, and then we'll work out the details of dollars and cents. Is that your reporting is how this went down with New England and Tom?
Absolutely. It was never going to be about money. I mean, first of all, I think it's pretty obvious. The Patriots were probably not going to be the highest bidder anyway, and they weren't going to get into a bidding war. It was just, do you want to be here? Are the Patriots, Tom Brady, where you think you have the best chance to win? If the answer was yes, they were extremely confident that they'd be able to work out a deal. It just never came to that.
Again, spinning this narrative that all he had to do was say he'd want to be here and we would have worked out a contract is so, it just so misses the mark. And so either the team continues to spin that nonsense or Ian Rappaport there, or Rich Eisen, just sort of got it wrong. Just sort of misinterpreted what, you know, what was going on there. And what I think was going on, there's no way. Don't tell me that Robert believes that if Brady said, I want to stay here, that they would have spun him a 2-year, $60 million deal like he's going to get in Tampa.
No shot.
That's, I mean, if that's what he's implying, that's a lie. They weren't going to do that. So are they just blatantly lying about it, or is there a nuance there that they're just sort of purposely being obtuse about because they want to pin it on Brady? And the nuance is this. Like I said, and Rappaport kind of alluded to it, and Jim McBride in the Globe basically reported it the other day, that when Kraft got the call from Brady on Monday night to come over, Kraft thought they were going to negotiate his next contract. But again, Kraft knows, everybody knows, they weren't paying him 2 years, 60. So what the hell did Kraft think? And what Kraft thought was,
Brady was putting his tail between his legs.
Brady was not going to go to Tampa. We were right. We nailed it. He didn't have a real market. The teams that he wanted to go to didn't want him. And all he was left with was that horrible franchise in that anus of America. And he'd have to start all over with and ruin his brand. And he's not going to do it. He's going to come crawling back to us. And when Robert heard that Brady's coming over, he felt, Robert thought, Tom's running to show up and say, Bill's being a jerk to me again. I can't figure it out. I want to stay. Help me save face. Let's get to a number that at least a lot. Can I? How about no pay cut? How about just pay me what you paid me last year? Why don't we just do that? And we won't guarantee the second year. We can come up with phony years. We can save face a million different ways. But I'm not going to Tampa, Robert. So let's just. So, like, on that level, could Kraft have come up with a deal? Sure, of course. A 1-year deal? That's something that would allow Brady to save face? Yes, Robert probably could have talked to Bill into that, and that's what Robert thought was coming. Robert never thought, the Patriots did not think that Brady would actually take that job in Tampa.
Agreed.
So they overplayed their hand. They overplayed their hand.
They didn't think at the end of the day he had the balls to walk out the door.
And you know what? I don't blame him.
Right.
I didn't really know that he did either.
Given the history and how he's dealt with their crap before with these bad contracts, at least in recent years, why would they think otherwise?
And also, it's Tampa!
Yeah, right. But the tell to them that he was angrier than he had been in the past should have been the preseason, when he was willing to either not get on the plane and go to Detroit or to the workouts with Tennessee. Like, because that's not a step I don't think he had ever taken before.
Yeah, but they can still look at that as, hey, he's pitching a fit. He'll get over it.
Yeah, but still, it's, you know, that is, he actually started missing stuff.
Yes, there were a ton of signs. He started missing stuff. He almost didn't get on the plane. He almost walked out of camp. He wore a sour puss all season long. Told national broadcasters, I'm the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the league. You know, all these things. The family moves immediately after the school semester ends in December. House is boarded up. House on the market. There were a million signs. Tapped in reporters to Brady's camp who kept saying, he's serious. And none of us believed it. Or the Patriots did. I don't think the Patriots fully believed it. I didn't fully believe it. I've seen Brady cave so many times. He'll cave again. And that's what they thought when Robert got that call. He thought, ooh, he's caving again. We got him. And yeah, sure, you want to stay? Well, we can work out a deal. 1 year, 18, $7 million in incentives to save face. You can get to 23 just like you did last year. Nothing guaranteed in the second, but we'll call it a 2-year deal to make it look like you got, like, sure. Easy to come up with a phony contract, no problem. And that's what they thought was going to happen.
He'll never go to the toothless floozy that is the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Seriously, so true, right?
That's what they are.
Yeah, he's married to Giselle Bundchen, rather, and now he's going to start banging the waitress at Perkins in Tampa?
Right? He was serious. It turns out he was serious. All right, so back to your thoughts on all of this. Our buddy Tom is in Quincy. He joins us next on Felger Mass. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I had all intentions of talking about the mass exodus at the Pats. Everyone's going out the door, but can you just give me 2 seconds real quick with this?
Go. Go.
Is there a worse team in the world that cannot take the temperature of their fans? The world is in disarray. The sports world is upside down. And the Sox management's like, hey, you know what? They haven't heard about us in a couple weeks. Who gives a crap if it's awful news? Just throw it out there. Get our name in the news. So ridiculous. It was a foregone conclusion the guy was having his elbow done. We talked about this like 2 weeks ago. It's like they were kicking the can down the road. There's no reason to announce it right now. People are falling over left and right because of what happened with Brady. Now you need this. They already ruined it when they pushed the opening day back to God knows when. I already knew he wasn't going to play. Now they just officially come out and say it? I could have done without it. 100%. Okay? So that aside, this whole thing with everyone in the world leaving the Pats at once, even Ebner left... It's like, and he went to that Cotto up in New York. It's like they couldn't even hold on to Ebner. Like, oh, my God. But the weirdest thing to me, all of the guys that have been that have left, even Harmon, but got traded, they're all going to former staff members of Belichick. Besides Brady, you got Flores in Miami's taking half the defense down there.
Right. So what's
he
the point?
Took on that Karras kid.
So what's your point?
My point is like everyone seems like they're jumping ship. There's been no conversation with holding on to anyone except the McCourty brothers and Slater. And it just kind of blows my mind. I knew they weren't going to keep Van Noy for the money. Collins was a forgiven thing that, yeah, he may make up the air and he's got some money somewhere else.
Yeah, but
all these other people going to sucky teams, and it's just like they're not sticking around. No one.
So I'm sorry, Tom. So what's the point? What's the conclusion on that?
Well, so
you think they're rebuilding? You think they're in big trouble?
I think part of it is I do think it's more of a players league than maybe you do. And I think some of these guys look around and say, like, you know what? If Brady's not going to be here, we don't really have a real chance. So I'm going to go somewhere else and cash in. I mean, Van Noy is definitely cashing in. I don't blame him there. But, I mean, truth be told, like, if they didn't put the franchise tag on Tooney, that'd be another one out the door.
Okay, but you think these guys would stay if Brady were here? If everything else was the same, meaning leaving money on the table, playing time on the table, but they'd stay if Brady were here. I don't believe a single guy would. I think a guy like, Ebner, is going there because Joe Judge is probably paying him a stupid amount.
Well, the Patriots weren't.
They right. were, but I bet Judge got stupider.
I told you, Ebner's the one that made my antenna
okay,
go up.
But I bet you they're paying him more.
Maybe.
I bet you that.
What if they're paying him the same and the Patriots were offering him a cut? You follow me?
Oh, yeah, okay. And if Brady were here, Ebner would have stayed?
No, they would have offered him this. They would have offered him the same. Is my point. I don't think so.
I don't think. I think it's easy to say they're leaving because of Brady or they're coming because of Brady. We've argued about this a million times. Players go someplace or leave someplace for two reasons on top of any other, and everything else is a distant third: playing time and money.
Yeah,
and that's
it. My point is the Patriots would have made a more concerted effort to keep some of these guys if Brady were still here because they'd be more all in. Not all in, but more committed to 2020 than they would have been otherwise. So they would have held on to some of these guys or at least made a better effort than because it feels like they're making no effort at all. And I'm not saying that that's true. Let's see what happens. They typically don't make big splashes in free agency. I didn't even think of what Tom said, though. A lot of these guys are leaving for suck teams. I mean, we're talking about Miami, Detroit, and the Giants.
Mess. It doesn't matter. This is what people don't get. Playing time, money.
So that's true.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is in most cases. It doesn't matter who the coach is in most cases. It doesn't matter what the team's record is in most cases. 95% of the time, I think it's that high, the player goes to money and playing time.
Okay, but then what about the defection of coaches over the last couple of years?
Okay, different. I didn't talk about coaches.
No, I'm just saying, though, but I think it's all part and parcel to the concern if you are a fan.
Well, so for coaches, it's probably money and advancement opportunities. And here, guys are blocked.
But a lot of those guys didn't get advancement.
Well, right? This is what I'm saying. Oh.
Coaches that left.
No, but there's a chance for advancement. If you're a defensive coach here in New England, if you're a defensive assistant and Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo are sitting there, you know you're not going anywhere. And if you're, I don't know, just go down the line. If you're an offensive coach, you're not going anywhere either with Josh McDaniels sticking around. And they probably get paid peanuts because Bill probably takes up the entire coaching budget. So that's pretty simple, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I still don't like the feel of it.
But what are you saying then?
I'm not saying that people hate the organization or anything. I'm just telling you that.
I'm sure some do.
But that's not even what I'm getting at. I'm just telling you that if you're a fan and you look at all the talent that has gone out of here, and some talent is as good as we want to make it believe, but for the sake of the argument, over the last couple of years, boy, a lot of people have left. It does feel like they're going bare bones. It does. And so now I'm willing to wait. Let's see what the market looks like. Let's see what the draft looks like and whether some of these young guys bounce back. But there's no doubt in my mind now that when they wanted to keep Devin McCourty, they were willing to pay his brother $5.5 million. Like, we're going to extend ourselves on that one. So they identify just a few cornerstone pillar guys that they're going to keep, and the rest of it feels like it's going to be a massive overhaul.
Okay, here's the update, breaking Red Sox news and the latest on Tom Brady.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Remember Belichick walking up to the board and said, wow, this Brady's still on the board.
Back here in New York, our draft coverage continues. It's New Orleans on the clock at pick 200. As we said, bottom of the sixth, end of the sixth round. And among the last six picks taken, a familiar name if you're a college football fan. Tom Brady, the quarterback who all he did was lead this football team, put them in the right position more times than not. And when he got pulled from the game and Drew Henson came in, Michigan football was not as good as it was when Brady was there.
One of the real troubling parts was the Michigan situation. You know, the fact that really they were trying to replace him as their starting quarterback and say, okay, they don't really want this guy as their starting quarterback. They want another guy. Well, what's the problem here? You know, it's a little bit of a red flag there.
Going to New England, Drew Bledsoe, his forte certainly isn't mobility. It's dropping back, throwing the football. Brady can do that, and certainly New England's offense already designed for Bledsoe. Now comes Brady. Can he overcome that lack of mobility?
When you're the 199th pick, it was like, whew. You know, I was thinking about as those other 198 names were called, what the heck I was going to do for the rest of my life.
We already had three quarterbacks at the time. We had just signed our number one quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, for a lot of money.
And I was happy as could be because I had a direction. We had a starting quarterback there who I could learn a lot from. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the league at the time.
More Pats picks. Sixth round, Antoine Harris, Tom Brady, and David Nugent. These later round picks can make a difference if your scouting department is sharp and you can get a little lucky.
I remember the first time he met me, he called me Kyle Brady. The tight end. All he knew was Brady, so he said, hey, Kyle.
You know, he came down those steps of the old stadium, and he was a skinny bean pole. I still can see it.
I kind of let it go. I mean, I wasn't going to say anything to the owner. I was 22 years old.
And he had a little pizza under his arm.
And I said, hey, Mr. Kraft. I said, I'm Tom Brady.
Yeah, I said, I know who you are, six-round draft choice from Michigan.
And he goes, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I know. You're a quarterback. I've seen you play. You're doing a good job.
And he looked me right in the eye, and he said,
you know, I just want to tell you, it's, you know, one of the best decisions you ever made picking me.
I'm the best decision this organization has ever made.
I remember the phone call. I remember sitting in my office because I said, was the kid cocky? My father said, you know, he wasn't, and there's something about the way he said it. He said, I believe him. So that is an absolute 100% true story.
Was he right?
Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins. Leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back!
Now he shoots it long and deep for Troy Brown. He's got it! He's got it! The 15 to the 10 to the 5! Touchdown! 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 And the Patriots win it overtime!
Look left. Throws for Edelman. Touchdown, Patriots. They're back in the lead in Super Bowl 49.
Tom Brady Randy Moss. And they each have set NFL records on the go-ahead touchdown. For Tom Brady, touchdown pass number 50.
Diving to the goal line. It's good. A touchdown and a title for the Patriots.
I can't believe it.
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Led by the greatest quarterback.
Look at Brady
in Super Bowl and NFL annals.
I don't assume anything anymore in life. I mean, I don't think anything's really guaranteed to us beyond what we have today. I really feel that way, and I think that's a different approach that I've taken over the years, because you really never know, you know, when your last day may be.
Tom Brady, about to be a six-time champion, takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Tom's at an elite level. He'd be certainly at the very, very top of all the players that I coach intellectually.
We believe in continuity as long as the performance is there. What happens in businesses like this is you get something good going and then it breaks up.
You can say whatever you want, but look at these diamonds on these fingers. I mean, that speaks for itself. I mean, that shuts a lot of people up.
Which of the rings do you like the best?
My favorite ring. He always said, and I said, always the next one. The next one's the best.
A little Brady porn for you there. Thursday evening. Maz just said, you want to carry this out? You know, take your pants off? A little Brady circle session?
Sure.
What does the trophy look like?
Yeah, so I received an email saying, you know, the Bobby Orr trophy. It was, for example. Yeah, statue. I'm sorry, yeah, statue. Sorry, statue. Right. Statue out in front of the TD Garden is Orr, you know, leaping through the air after he scored the goal to clinch a Stanley Cup. So what is the Brady statue? What does it look like? What moment is it?
I think it's when he runs out of the tunnel and goes to the end zone. You got the, you know, it's him either with, you know, like the, either one arm forward or both arms forward, but it's him screaming, let's go.
So when I was thinking of it, I came to the same conclusion, the exact same one, that that's the sort of the one thing you remember most visually of him is that coming out of that tunnel. Man, it's like, you know, I don't know, we don't spend a lot of time on this stuff for lots of reasons. What a career here. Oh, my God. Like, whoever could have seen that? Nobody. Unbelievable. Just an unbelievable run.
What do they name after him?
Ooh.
For the Ted Williams Tunnel. You know, if you're going to name it after someone who... I know he was a great ball player. I got it. But you name a tunnel after someone who never won anything. What are you going to name... What do you name after the guy that won more than anybody?
Can they name that section of Route 1 the Tom Brady Highway or something like that?
I was going to say, rename Route 1. That would probably be the best bet.
So he gets that stretch in front of the Red Wing.
Well, so, you know, Route 9, Williams...
Can we go a little...
Nicer?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a little more meaningful?
No, there's no Route 12,
than the freaking that subway there?
I mean, Ted Williams is Route 9. He got Route 9, right?
Right in front of the Papagino's, Brady Way. Like, let's get a... give me a little something more. Give me a bridge, a tunnel, a something. Not just a stretch of Route 1 there. In front of the go-kart track.
The toughie. I got to think about that one. Mm. I mean, it's, you know, he... There's never been a guy like him. He's a one-time cat. I, you know.
It's not like they're going to rename the stadium. They got to sell those naming rights, so.
But something. Yeah. Come up with something.
Give me a little time on that one. I'll come up with something.
Wrap it up with your calls here, as promised. Ben in Attleboro. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. Belichick usually reserves iconic for when he's talking about punters and long snappers, so that was real big of him when he was talking about Brady. But what I wanted to get to was, one, does Brady need to show up for off-season workouts with Tampa Bay? And two, when Garoppolo got traded, everybody said Brady has to stick around for X amount of years. Do we have that same kind of thing with Belichick?
So that's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
And I would say yes. I would say yes. If I were Robert, that's what I would say to Bill. If we're going to do this, you owe me at least three.
I say five. As a coach, you got to give me five.
It's fair. Right. I mean, I think... Yes, I would hope. I think that's a fair thing to bring up. Brady showing up in Tampa, he better. I mean, he better. What a horrible look. How do you ingratiate? I mean, it hurt you here when you knew the offense, like the back of your hand, and you stopped showing up. It hurt you here. Never mind, you're learning a whole new playbook, a whole new offense. No, you've got to be there in, I mean, you know, March. It ain't going to work because of the, you know, obviously conditions on the planet as it is, but you have to be there in the offseason, and you can't be doing this thing that fly home Sunday after the game, come back Wednesday morning for the first team meeting. Like, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Well, so my gut tells me that, like, you know, he's going to catch a break because there may not be any of these mini camps and OTAs, or at least not the OTAs. So he may get to skate. But then again, based on what's going on in Tampa, it feels like they're doing everything else down there. So maybe they have him anyway.
Has to be fully committed. That would be gross if he takes $30 million a year, starts over in a new place, they build the whole thing around him, he doesn't show up, you know, Monday, Tuesdays of the week, or doesn't show up until training camp in July. That would be as bad of a look here. It would be even worse there. Mike in Braintree. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, yeah, guys. Love your show. Listen all the time. My take on why Brady chose Tampa is this. Think about it. Brady really isn't liked around the country. If he goes down to Tampa, they're going to love him down there. It's Boston Part 2. Think about that dynamic, guys. It's from day one. It's going to be a love fest for him down there.
Okay,
and so, I think it's a perfect fit for him.
So these teams, these cities hate him now as a Patriot. If he went there as their guy, you don't think as much, you know, The fans may have voted Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady beforehand, but after the fact, if Brady went to Tennessee, you don't think they'd embrace Tom Brady?
No, they totally would.
Any of these idiots would.
Would you stop it? Indianapolis, as much as you had your a rivalry there, if they signed Tom Brady, you don't think those yahoos in Indianapolis would lose it for Tom Brady once he was there and they realized he was the guy?
And the caller's missing the point. When he goes on the road, he's still going to get his ass booed off.
Here's Max in the truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So I see Bill Belichick trading Julian Edelman down to Tampa Bay to play with Tom Brady. He's clearing house. You look at all these players signing with all these teams. Nate Ebner going to the Giants? And, like what is going on? Like, who are we going to sign? And also, they should bring in Scott Zolak as the next quarterback. I mean, I don't want Cam Newton as a quarterback.
Okay, well, you're changing subjects. If you want to trade Julian Edelman, what do you get for Julian Edelman at this stage?
Fourth rounder.
I was going to say
something like that.
Do you even get a third for Julian Edelman?
Additional seventh,
somewhere in the middle.
It's not that bad, but it's
somewhere in the middle.
It's a mid-round pick. Are you agree?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle. So he's near the end.
A third is high.
It feels that way. Yeah.
So I don't think I don't think trading Julian Edelman accelerates the rebuild.
No, in fact, I think it might even hurt it.
You're better off keeping him here to help whoever the next quarterback is and try and keep you respectable.
I mean, that's how I feel. If they want to run something akin, even if it's remotely similar to their current offense, the value of that slot guy is off the charts. And if you have an experienced one that can bring the quarterback along, that's a big asset.
But is he going to get over not having his whoopee? You know, if he's out here liking tweets by Deion Sanders saying that, you know, Tampa, he should go to Tampa.
That's
with
a bad
Tom.
Look by him.
Right. At some point, Belichick has to say, like, get over it if you're going to be here.
You know what? I didn't spend enough time on that today. Maybe we'll rip him tomorrow for that. That's a bad look.
Edelman?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you know, so I'd be concerned.
So you're demanding a trade now?
I'd be concerned if I were Belichick, though, that whole little clique got infected.
Yes.
Amendola, Gronk,
yes.
Brady.
Yes.
Like, if I'm Belichick, I would be worried about that.
Yeah, well, you know, they've lopped it off.
Tom Brady International Airport. Rename Logan.
I was going to say, that's a big one. That's no naming rights there. Something like that. I like the sound of the airport versus, again, the intersection in front of the Papagino's in Foxborough. I'm sorry, Maz. I want something a little bigger than that.
The TB Garden?
Not bad.
I don't think Jeremy would go for that.
Well, we'll get to him, too. Meanwhile, though, thus concludes that portion of the program. The final word is next.
Tugger and Maz. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nope. All right, one quick piece of sound to get to, and the final word for today. The world may be changing around us by the minute, but some things remain the same for Felger and Maz, and that would be bad phone calls and phone call issues. That will always be part of the show.
Charlie in Redding. Go ahead, Charlie. Charlie! Call us back. You know the number. Brandon in Boston. Quickly.
Hold on.
Go ahead, Brandon. Go.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call.
Oh, that phone. You call so much and your phone just blows, dude. Hold it like a pizza. Shout.
Oh, so I just want to say you guys are great, man, and I just want to say that you're keeping me sane through all the madness, but if I could be real quick. Phillip Rivers was sacked 34 times, Jameis Winston 47, so Brady might have a, hello?
Is that good?
Okay, yeah, goodbye. Yeah,
again, that phone, but you figured it out there for a second.
He started the call.
What did he do?
Well, he had socks in his mouth. He took the socks out, and then he got his point halfway out, and he put the socks back in.
But, like, every time he calls, it's some horrible freaking phone. And, like, fix your phone. He goes, okay, how's this? It's perfect.
Right.
So why weren't you doing that from the start, Brandon?
And then it goes from that to...
back to it.
Yeah, you guys there.
No, what is this? Hold it like a pizza. Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, fine. That's all we need.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.